This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai. Welcome, everyone. Baruch Ma'abayim. We have an amazing shiur B'Siyat Shemaya for tonight. We're continuing the shiurim on Sefer Shemois. This is a penultimate shiur on Sefer Shemois. Shiurim on Shemois are, again, dedicated by Dr. Zakeim Mishpachta, Leila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakeim, Rivka Bas Tovi Halevi, Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyen. Shiurim of Chodesh Adar are dedicated by the Yom Tobian family of Great Neck in memory of Miriam Bas Rachel, whose 12th yard site is Tezayin Adar. We have a number of sponsors tonight. Okay, first we're going to mention Rav David Weber. He's here with us in honor of his grandfather's yard site. Alter Avraham Ben Alkana. Neshama Shavn Aliyah. Should be a male Yoshe for his whole family, for Simcha Sanacha, Surah's Toivois, Adbi Askel Tzadek. Tonight's shir is dedicated. We'll go to Rab Avi. He's on. He's with us on the Zoom. Rab Avi Tachman for his father's yard site. Le'iloi Nishmas Rab Yisrael Isser Ben Mordechai Yaakov. Neshama Shavn Aliyah, should be a male Yoshe for his whole family, Adbi Askel Tzadek. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Rabbi Yitzchak Yeager, the author of the Halachic series Guidelines in memory of his father, whose yard site is Yud Ches Adar. Rabbi Elisha Meir, Ben Alexander Zusha, Began Eden Te Menuchasa, Yishvi Omeyos Yoshe for his whole family, Ad Bias Gal Tzedek. And tonight's shir is dedicated by my dear friends, Rabbi Michal Shugal Varayasai, in honor of the Bar Mitzvah of their son, Baruch Yehoshua, becoming a bar mitzvah. They should see a lot of Yiddish shenachas and be zoche legadloi, letoira, lechupa, lemasim toivim. Okay? That's the first half of the shir. Now, the second half of the shir. I have a very important announcement to make. First of all, make sure you get your Haggadah. And even if you got last year, but you took off the shrink wrap, now you don't have one with shrink wrap. So here's one available in the shrink wrap.
Basically.
Now, maybe in past years you said the Haggadah in Lashon Kodesh or in English. This year, this Haggadah is now available, as of today, it was born in Spanish and French. So you could say the Haggadah now not only in Yiddish, you could say it in Spanish, you could, or whatever country, South America, in Panama, or in Argentina, Colombia, Venezuela. What do they speak there? I don't know if they speak. But they know it, okay? You could say the Manashtana in French. And of course, Lashon HaKodesh, Magen Rakia, these are all available. Okay, we have a very interesting share tonight. I was debating between two topics, and I chose this. This is really out of the box. Okay, so the Pasuk says in Vayakhel, V'chol isha chachmas lev biyadeha tavu. Every wise-hearted woman sewed with her hands. Vayaviu matve. And they brought the spun item. Es hatcheles, the blue wool. V'es ha'argaman, the purple wool. V'es toilas hashani, the scarlet. V'es hashesh, and the silk. So it says all wise-hearted women spun with their hands. And what about wise-hearted men? No, men don't sew, okay? We're going to see. Men don't sew. Sewing is the job,
You better be careful.
Sewing is the craft that women are expert in, okay? And the pasuk then continues, V'chal hanoshim asher nasa liban oisana b'chachma. And all women that their hearts elevated them with wisdom, tavu es ha'izim, spun the goat. They didn't spin the thread. All wise-hearted women, all women whose hearts catapulted them with wisdom, spun the goats. Okay, so Rashi says, what are these two levels? You have women who are chachma slav, spun with their hand, and all women that their hearts propelled them, that catapulted them, spun the goat. Doesn't say Tavu vayaviu matve esargam esalas shani. They didn't spin the materials, they spun the goat itself. So Rashi says that is an added feature. What's the added feature? Hi hoisa umnos yisera. This was an added craft, an added expertise. Shemei al gabe ho'izim toivin oisam. That they spun it from on top of the goat. In other words, they didn't cut the wool and then spin it. While the wool was still attached, they spun the wool attached to the goat. So you had a goat. What does a goat say? Anybody know? Ira, what does a goat say?
Bah.
Bah? Not sure about that. I think a sheep says bah. I'm not sure what a goat says. What does a goat say? Probably. No. So the goat was sitting there. They combed the wool. They combed it and they spun it while it was on the goat. And after they spun it, then they cut it, which is not the usual way to spin wool. Usually you cut it, you process it, then you spin it. No. In the Midbar, the women with extra special expertise, they spun the wool on the goat. So what I was wondering about this week is, why in the world did they do that? Did you ever wonder about that? I was losing sleep over this. Actually, I was losing sleep what I would speak about. And it was either between this or something regarding Purim and Pesach, which is really good, but it's so good we're going to save it for next year. So I decided to speak about this unusual practice that the women with the highest level of wisdom, they spun the wool on the goat itself. Comes the Sfarno. The Sfarno says, why on the goat? Leman yia bit bativoy zohar noisap. So that the spinning will have extra luster. It shines more. Everybody knows that if you spin the hair of the goat while it's still attached, it will shine more than if you cut it off and then you spin it. So in other words, you know, if you want someone's hair, it's gonna have more glamour, it's gonna have more luster while it's attached than once it's cut off. So therefore, the Sfarno says they spun it while it was still attached to the goat, because this way it would have more shine. And then the Sfarno says, ki baharbe me'apshute, many things that are removed from their life source will lose some of their quality when they're uprooted from their source of life. Like when honey is taken out of the honeycomb, it loses some of its taste when it comes out of the cone. Or cassia, you know what cassia is? Type of cinnamon. If it's still attached, it has more flavor and shine than when it's disattached. Or milk. So there are many things that while they're attached, they have more shine. So these women had a special expertise. They were able to spin it while it was still attached to the goat. And the advantage of doing that was it presented nicer. It looked nicer. It had more of a shine if they spun it while still attached to the goat. That's the answer of the Sfarno. The thing is, we do find this phenomenon in a number of other places. So for example, the Shemen Hamar, Rashi seems to imply they didn't cut off the olive and then squeeze it. It almost seems like they squeezed it while it was still on the tree. Where else do we find this phenomenon? The husband didn't say, Yanta, give me your nose ring. He took her, brought her to Moshe wearing the nose ring, and then they took it off. In other words, they didn't take the nose ring to Moshe. They took the lady to Moshe wearing the nose ring. So three times we see the phenomenon. They didn't take the item off of its source. They took the source with the item. They spun the yarn on the goat. They squeezed the olive on the tree. They took the ring with the lady. So Reb Elyomeir Blach, that tells the Rosh Hashiva, lived from 1895 to 1955. My grandfather met him in the DP camps. He says a very interesting idea, and I want to bring to your attention, we're going to learn tonight 9 different approaches of why they spun the yarn on the goat. And each approach is reflective of the Mefarish who presents it. In other words, they're all like a classic interpretation in the derech of this particular mefarish. So the Sfarno says something somewhat practical, that the reason why they spun it on the goat is because it was more mehudar, it was more beautiful, it had more of a shine when they spun it on the goat. Rav Elia Meir Blach in the Sefer Pnei Das in Tells, they emphasized the value of thought, of coherent, intelligible thought. So this is a very deep machshava. Rav Elia Meir Blach says, the reason why they spun it while still on the goat is because it showed a certain spiritual quality that they wanted to attach Kedusha to the item while it was still connected to its life source. It shows a certain honor and veneration for something which is holy if you present it not disconnected from its life source, but when you present it connected to its source of vitality, it demonstrates a certain honor and value of Kedusha. So instead of taking the yarn, taking the wool, cutting it off and like bringing dead yarn, when you bring it still attached to life, it shows a certain kavod for the institution that you're donating toward. So instead of cutting the yarn and then presenting it, they twisted the string attached to the goat. They wanted it to be presented mechayim, so they squeezed it while it was still on the tree. They brought the nose ring while it was still on the lady, right? So in other words, they showed that this thing comes from a great source, and that added honor and prestige to the mitzvah. Okay, that's Rabbi Elia Meir Blach. The Ben Ish Chai wrote a sefer, Oid Yosef Chai. He gives two answers. I'm going to share with you first the second answer. We'll discuss the first answer a little bit later. The way the Ben Ish Chai asks the question is, granted, it's nicer to give it in a way where you spin it while it's still attached to the goat, okay? But ultimately, the goat is going to go, because you're not going to make curtains and the goat is still attached to the you know, you didn't have coming out of the walls of the Mishkan. So eventually, we needed him. Yeah, eventually, you're going to cut it. Eventually, you're going to cut it. So once it's presented to the Mishkan, would anybody have any idea whatsoever whether you spun it attached to the goat or you cut it and then you spun it? It's nice. In the giving, it's better. But ultimately, once it's received, nobody could tell the difference. I mean, again, not like the Sfarno that it shines more. But at the end of the day, nobody could tell the difference if you spun it attached to the goat, then you cut it, or you cut it and then you spun it. So what's the maila of spinning it attached to the goat? So Ben Ish Chai says something phenomenal. Ben Ish Chai says, what's the purpose of the Mishkan? It's a kapara for the chait. Ha'egal, yeah? Who sinned with the egal? The men, not the ladies. The men said, take off your jewelry. And she said, no. Sprinza said, I'm not taking it off. She said, I'm not gonna donate. So they had to yank it off. So the Mishkan is not a takana, it's not a tikkun for the women, it's a tikkun for the men. That's why you only give machzis hashekel. For the men, not for the ladies. So the ladies knew that this whole donation is for the sake of the men and not for the ladies. So they said like this, but here's the problem. Houston, we got a problem. Because sewing is the expertise of the ladies, not the men. So if we're going to sew, we'll get a zuchus, but they won't. So, and they're going to lose that on a tikkun. So we have a great idea. Because in halacha, something is considered attributed to its final step. So we'll spin it on the goat. They'll cut it off, so they'll be accredited with the spinning. But if it's cut off and then we spin it, we did it. So as a gift to the men, as a way of benefiting the men, the women spun the wool on the goat. The men cut it off. The men are accredited with the mitzvah of spinning, because hakol hoylech achar hagmar, and this way the men get a tikkun for their mice. Okay, so that was, and that's why this was an extra special chachma, right? The pasuk says, the wise women sowed the Tchelas Agamat HaShani. And the women who had extra special Chachma, they spun it on the goat. Why? Because they knew the Lamdus, that if they cut it and then they spin it, then they're going to get credit, not the men. And the purpose is for the men to get credit. So the women who were Lamdanim, who had extra Chachma, they spun it on the goat. You got that? So far we have three reasons why the women spun it on the goat. Number one, the Sfarno says it shined more. Number two, Rabbi Elimelech Bloch says it shows an honor to the mitzvah if you want to keep it connected to its source of life. And the Ben Ish Chai says a lamdos, that by spinning it on the goat and then the men cut it, the men are accredited with it. Now, the Yismach Moshe, the Hilge Yismach Moshe. Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, the progenitor, you know, Satmar, hails from the Yismach Moshe. I told you, actually, my grandmother, after the Holocaust, was with a woman, Mrs. Natanzan, who was a descendant of the Yismach Moshe, so close that she had his gartel. And she told her son at her levaya he should wear the gartel of the Yismach Moshe. Satmar wants to buy the gartel for a handsome son, but they're not going to sell it. So anyway, that's my connection to the Yismach Moshe. We were connected to his gartel, okay? The Yismach Moshe was a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer. Yismach Moshe says like this, you know why they spun it on the goat? When Hashem said, build the Mishkan, the Klal Yisrael, they were so motivated, inspired to build the Mishkan, they wanted to build the Mishkan around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they were going to do it on Shabbos. That's why Hashem said, no, you can't do it on Shabbos. That's why in Vayakel and Kisisa, in the message of building the Mishkan, Hashem says, yeah, but you have to keep Shabbos, because even if you want to build the Mishkan, it's not Toicha Shabbos. So some women had a Chakira. How are we going to build the Mishkan on Shabbos? Ooh, we have a great idea. The halacha is that you're only chayiv for spinning if you share it and then you spin it. But if you spin it while it's still on the goat, you're not chayiv on Shabbos. It's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan didn't come yet. So the women who had extra special chachma came up with an unbelievable chap that this way, if they spin the wool on the goat, they could do it on Shabbos. And that was their kavanah. That's why the really wise women who did not want to be mevatel from the Asiyas HaMishkan, even on Shabbos, they spun it on the goat. That's what the Yismach Moshe says. Kein nirali barer. So it seems to me clear. Also, the Yalkut HaGershuni also offers this reason that they did it to be able to do this on Shabbos. And then the printer says, it's a shame he didn't know the Yismach Moshe already said it. Okay, so that is the fourth reason. The fourth reason, right? In order to be pater on Shabbos. Here's reason number five. I saw this in the Sefer Vavei Ho'amudim V'chashukeyam, quoting the Sefer Imreichen. You know why the women spun it on the goat? They had such Zrizos, they couldn't wait for someone to cut it off the goat. They just ran and spun it right away. It was a display of enthusiasm, energy, zrizos, alacrity, that they didn't want to wait for it to be cut. They just spun it right away. By the way, the Imre Chain says, Adavar Ayamanayra. What's the next pasuk after this? After this pasuk that says, V'chol Hanoshim asher nasa liba noisana b'chachma tavo season. What's the pasuk after this pasuk that says that the extra special women spun it on the goat? You know what the next pasuk is? V'hanasiyim heviu. The nasiyim brought. Remember the word v'hanasiyim? The word v'hanasiyim is spelled missing a yud. Why is it? By the way, what did the nasiyim bring? The avnei shayham and the avnei miluam. Why? Because Rashi says the nasiyim said, listen. You want us to participate? You guys donate, and whatever needs to be filled in, whatever needs to be completed, we'll do the rest. But that was considered atzlos on the part of the Nasiim, because they waited until the end, and therefore the letter Yud is missing from their name. So says the Sefer Imrechin, the juxtaposition of these two psukim is very compelling. First, the pasuk says, the wise women, they jumped on the goat and they spun it on the goat and they wouldn't wait and they did it bezrizus, but the Nesiim, no. They were lacking in zrizus. They're missing a yud. They waited till the end. So it's in order to contrast it to the Nesiim. Furthermore, the Sefer Imrechin says, we're trying to compliment the women. They didn't participate in the egal. What didn't they do with the egal? They didn't donate their jewelry. The men had to rip it off them. So maybe you say, you know why they didn't donate their jewelry? It's not because they didn't want to participate with the egal. It's because maybe they were lazy. Maybe you'll say the reason the women didn't donate to the egal is maybe they were lazy. So the pasuk said, no, not these ladies. These ladies, they jumped on the goat and they were spinning it while it was still attached to the goat. So that reveals their praise that when it came to the egal, the reason they didn't donate, it wasn't out of laziness, is because they didn't want to participate. Okay, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Reb Yitz, if you had a choice on a regular Tuesday night, you could eat a bowl of leaves, or you could eat a steak. And the salad, it's so delicious. It's really fresh leaves, and it's crunchy, and it energizes you. Reb Yitz, salad or steak? Which do you choose?
You said Tuesday night?
Yeah.
I'm sick of meat all the weekend already, so maybe I'll go with the salad.
Salad. David?
Steak.
Steak, 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Seven, okay, thank you. That's the correct answer. Okay? You know, the Gemara says, his amazing, the Reb Tzadik HaKohen shtels a Gemara in Shabbos, an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, if you don't have enough bread, don't eat veggies, because it whets the appetite, and you're going to be starving. So if you don't have bread, don't eat vegetables. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, when I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables, and when I was rich, I didn't eat vegetables. You know, this was very inspiring to me, because at least I feel I have something in common with Rav Chisda, you know? One thing, I'm like Reb Chisda. Reb Chisda says he doesn't eat vegetables. No, I sometimes eat them. It's not my go-to. Reb Chisda says, when I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables, and when I was rich, I didn't eat vegetables. When I was poor, because it makes you hungry, and he didn't have what to eat afterwards. When I was rich, why should I eat vegetables if I could eat meat? You hear this, Gemara? Reb Chisda says that when I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables. When I was rich, when I was poor, because it is megarer achila, it draws achila, and I didn't have food. And when I was rich, why should I eat a vegetable if I could eat a hamburger? I feel very close to Reb Chisda. Says the Reb Tzadik HaKohen, what Reb Chisda? He liked meat. He was lohod achar madanim. Says Reb Tzadik HaKohen in the name of the Arizal, that every food you eat, you could extract nitzoytzos of Kedusha, sparks of Kedusha. It's much easier to get sparks of Kedusha out of an animal than out of salat. It's very hard to get anything out of that salad. You could have, you know why? Nowadays, when I was a kid, your salad, they give you a little bowl. Now you go to the store, they give you a bowl, like, I don't know. Yeah, what? You have a guy, one guy's eating a slice of pizza. The other guy has this barrel, like a gigas. It looks like the gigas Hashem was going to drop by Matan Torah. A whole thing of salad. I tell you, you could eat that whole thing, you'll be starving. You know, I don't know how people survive on that. I don't know what they do with that. Anyway, it's very hard to get even any sparks of Kedusha out of greens, out of vegetables. Out of meat, a steak, oh man, you know how much Kedusha you could get out of it? That's why we say over here, it's better steak than the salad. Because we feel it's spiritually accomplishing when you eat a piece of steak. A salad, you don't accomplish anything. It's very hard to accomplish anything spiritually out of a salad. Oh, meat is chock full of Kedusha. That's what Arizal says. There are a lot of sparks of Kedusha in meat. Very little sparks of Kedusha. It's very hard to get sparks of Kedusha out of vegetables. By the way, Rav Nachman was wealthy. He was the son-in-law of the Bein Asiyah. He would say, if I don't eat meat, I can't learn. Without meat, you can't learn Gemara. There's no way. That's what Rav Nachman said. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen like this. If a living thing, you're able to get a lot of Kedusha out of it, and a plant, you're able to get very little Kedusha, we have cracked the code of why the women were spinning the wool attached to the goat. What do you want them to do? Cut off the hair, bring the hair into their workroom. What's hair when it's not attached to a goat? It's not even a plant. It's a rock. It's a doimem. Try getting Kedusha out of it. There's no holiness that could be generated in such an act. Spinning yarn when it's not attached to a chai is a spiritually almost empty activity. But if the wool is attached to the goat, you know how much Kedusha you could extract from such a process? Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, the Arizal that explains the Gemara in Shabbos, the Reb Chisda didn't eat vegetables. The Ari means like this. When he was poor means when he was on a very low level, he didn't have the spiritual capacity to eat vegetables and get anything out of it. And when he was wealthy in spirituality, why would he eat a vegetable if he could get so much Kedusha out of a piece of meat? So that's why the ladies spun the yarn attached to the goat, because if it's not attached, lots of luck getting Kedusha out of it. But if it's attached, so then you could maximize the Kedusha access by spinning the wool on the goat. So spinning the wool after it's cut off is like eating salad. Spinning the wool attached to the goat is like eating a steak. There you go. No, I do not, I'm not a fan of when they say, eat the tuna steak, it tastes just like a real steak. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That's sheker v'chazav. I don't accept that. Okay? Now, you could get more Kedusha out of fish than out of salad, yes. But you could get more Kedusha out of meat than out of fish. But you have to know how to do it. So it's not for everybody. So if a guy says, I just want to eat leaves, he wants to play minor leagues, let him stay in the minor leagues. You want to play Major League Baseball, you have to be able to play. You have to be able to hold the bat. You have to, you know. Okay, next. We move on, okay? So far we've had a number of interpretations. We had the Sfarno. When it's attached, it shines more. Rabbi Elyameir Blach, that when it's attached, it shows a kavod for the institution that you're donating to. The Ben Ish Chai says that the woman kept it attached so that the men could be accredited with the spinning. The Yismach Moshe says they kept it attached so that they would be putter from spinning it on Shabbos. The Imre Chain says they kept it attached. It shows Zrizos. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says if it's attached, it's a Bal Chai. If it's a Bal Chai, you could get more Kedusha out of it. You ready? Here we go. This is the seventh reason. The seventh reason is Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz. How many Jews were there at the time? 600,000. Were they all Tahar? Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz says it's impossible that in such a large nation, not one woman was a Nida. Not one woman was Tameh. Now, if the woman who is Tameh would spin with yarn that was not attached, they're going to be Metameh the yarn. So therefore, the women who had extra Chachma, they spun while still attached to the goat, because something that's Mechubar Lechai is not Mekabel Tuma. Pashut. That's why they did it. They did it because some women were Tameh.
Is it possible to remove some of the, if you're worried about on Shabbos,
They spun it attached. They didn't rip it out.
It's playing with fire. I mean, like, right? Combing your hair, right?
So combing is pulling the hair. But spinning it, they were expert in it. You know, look, the goat probably had long hair. And they were careful not to do it. And if it happens, it's davar sheina miskaven.
Because then the tumma would be an issue then, right?
Yeah, but they did it while it was still attached. That's the answer of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. The Tiferes Yaakov quotes Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. He says, look, we don't usually ask questions on drush, but b'mechilas kvoid, the Torah of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, this great giant, this Sar HaTorah, it seems that he momentarily forgot what Chazal said. That after Matan Torah, the Jews did not become Tamei. There were no Nidos, there were no Zavim. Chazal say after Matan Torah, Nidos stopped. So what's Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz talking about? Chazal say openly, after Matan Torah, Nida is a... That process is a phenomenon that is a semblance of death, but there was no death. After Matan Torah, the Jews were going to live forever. And that's when they got the tzivoy of the Melachas HaMishkan. So the command to build the Mishkan was right after Kabbalas HaTorah. So what's Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz saying? Oh, the women, they spun it on the animals, so the nidos would not be matame. What do you mean nidos? There were no nidos. So the Paradis Yosef says, okay, maybe there were no nidos. But if a woman, what's the halacha if a woman gives birth and there's no dam? Is she tame or is she tahar? She's still tame. Because there's a rule, ein psichas hakever b'lay dam. So even if there were no nidos, there were still yoyledes. There were still yoyledes. We're going to explain this further. Let's take a look very carefully at the Lashon of the Pesukim. Take a look back at number one. V'chol isha chachmas lev b'yadeha tavu v'ayaviu matve es hatcheles v'yes ho'argaman es toilas hashani v'yes hashesh. This pasuk, Lashon Yachid or Lashon Rabim? When it talks about the women. V'chol isha chachmas lev. Is that Lashon Yachid or Lashon Rabim?
Yachid.
Yachid. V'chol isha. Chachmas lev. Not libam. Not biyadehem. And then it says v'chol hanashim, plural. So why the first level of chachma does it talk about the women in Lashon Yachid? And the second level of chachma talks about the women in Lashon Rabim. Says the Meshech Chachma, very simple. The first level, They were sowing tcheles, argaman, toila, shani. So, not all women were able to do it. Any woman who was tamei couldn't do it. It was only individuals who were tahar or went to the mikvah. So, legabi, the first level of those who sowed with the raw material, it's the chalisha, individual women. But the second level of those who sowed while it was still attached, it was all women, because even if they were tamei, they were still allowed to do it. So regarding the first level of sowing with the tcheles, the argaman, it's only individuals. That's why it says v'chal isha. But when it comes to the second level where they were sowing when it was attached, it's v'chal hanashim. That's the amazing diuk of the Meshech Chachma. By the way, in the Sefer Yalkut David, he says on the words Lev Biyadeha Tavu, Lev Biyadeha Tavu is Rashi Tevois, Taval. That the women went to the mikvah before they spun. But the remez, I would add, is only in the first level. Because in the first level, they needed to go to the mikvah. Why? Because they were dealing with the raw materials. So they could have made a tameh. So they had to go to the mikvah. But the second level doesn't say they went to the mikvah. Because the second level didn't have to go to the mikvah. Because the second level, they're spinning it while it's still attached to the goat. Okay. I just want to conclude by answering this question that they ask on Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. The Tfaras Yaakov asked on Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshetz that what's Rabbi Yonasan saying? That the reason why the women sewed while still attached, because if they were anida, they would be metameyet. So by sewing it while it's still attached, they would avoid tumah. But there was no nida at the time. There was no nidus at the time. So by the way, even though there was no nidus at the time, the Yalkut David says that after the Chet HaEgel, the Zuama came back and the Nidus did come back. Another possibility is they could have been Tamei Meis or Sheretz. So that's another reason why they did it still attached to the animal. But I want to share with you something else also. Take a look at number 17. In other words, we're trying to, in a way, answer the question of on Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshetz. Rabbi Yonasan says that the reason that they sewed it attached to the animal is to avoid being metameyit. But there was no tuma then. There was no tuma. So I want to share with you something very interesting. The Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Tzadi Tes, look at number 17. Greater was the chachma of the upper curtain, the ones that covered the top of the Mishkan, more than the ones underneath it. The Yerios HaTachtoinois, it says, V'chol Isha Chachmas Lev B'yadeha Tavu. The top curtains, V'chol HaNoshim Asher Nasa Liban Oisana B'chachma, they sewed it while on the goat. Okay? So the Gemara says, the wisdom needed to sew the upper curtains was greater than the wisdom on the lower curtains. Says the Marsha. The Marsha says that there were three dimensions of the Mishkan. Each dimension reflected a different part of the world. The courtyard of the Mishkan is connected to this world. The Mishkan and the lower curtains is like the middle world, the skies. The upper curtains was like the Shmei Shamayim, the highest heavens. Says the Marsha, that's why the highest curtains were made attached to the goat, because just like the upper worlds are not mekabel tuma, so too the upper curtains were made in a way that they cannot be mekabel tuma. So I think this would answer the question of Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshetz. Maybe Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshetz doesn't mean they sewed it on the goat because in case they were anida, they didn't want to be metameyet. It's not about them actually being metameyet. It's about they wanted to make the Mishkan, the upper curtains, in a way that it cannot be mekabel tuma, irrespective of whether they are tamei or not tamei. It was inconsequential whether the women were nidos or were not nidos, were tamei, were not tamei. It's not about whether they are being metameyet. It's about they needed to construct a domain that reflected the upper heavens that's not mekabel tuma. So they did it attached to the goat so that they would make these curtains in a way where the curtains are not mekabel tuma. It's not because, in case they were tummy, they didn't want to make a tummy. It's not about them practically making a tummy. It's about constructing something that reflected a world that is not able to be mekabel tuma. Rav Yochanan Luria, when a Rishain, he brings that one should teach women needlepoint, weaving and sewing, so that when the Beis HaMikdash is built, they too can be sewing the curtains of the Mishkan. And if they want to achieve the greatest level of wisdom, maybe you should buy them a goat so that they could learn the craft of sewing while it's still attached to the goat. Anyway, so that's the shir. Why the women, the Nashim Asher Nasa Liban Oisana B'Chachma, they sewed while it's still attached to the goat? We actually gave eight reasons, not nine, eight reasons why they sewed still attached to the goat. Number one, the Sfarno. Well, if you sew it while it's still attached, it has a greater luster. Number two, Reb Elia Meir Blach, it shows greater kavod and chavivus for the mitzvah to give it while it's still attached to its life source. The Ben Ish Chai says that by sewing it while it's still attached to the goat and allowing the men to cut it off, they're now attributing to the men the sewing, and that would be a tikkun for the men who needed it for the Cheiro Egal. The Yismach Moshe says they did it to be able to construct the Mishkan on Shabbos. Number five, the Vavei Amudim says they did it as a display of Zrizus in contrast to Vahanasiyim Heviyu. Number six, Reb Tzadik HaKohen says that you could get more Kedusha out of a Baal Chai than you could get out of a Tzoymech and a Doimim. Number seven, Rabbi Yonis Naibishit says that in case someone was Tamei, it would not be Matamei. And then we added from the Marsha, it's not about in case someone is Tamei, it won't be Matamei. It's they wanted to construct something that could reflect the upper worlds that is not Mekabel Tuma, so therefore they sewed while it's still attached to the goat, which is something which is not Mekabel Tuma. So this is just a little glimpse, by the way, of one little detail in Torah, and you have all these divergent approaches, each one very much reflective of the one who says it. So what the Sfarno says is very reflective of something the Sfarno would say. What Rav Elia Meir Blach says is reflective of the Telz Mahalach. What the Ben Ish Chai says, what the Yismach Moshe writes, it's like a Lamda Shechap. What Reb Tzadik HaKohen says based on the Arizal is mystical. Reb Yonis Naibishitz is a lamdus. And all these various mahalchim, we say the Torah is kifatish yifutzat sela. It shatters into so many different divergent paths. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Shkoyach. One second, what? The Ben Ish Chai's first answer is the same as Rabbi Yonis and Ibishit, so that they don't become Tamei.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.